So this is a brief talk with the title Myth, Magic and Mayhem, and it focuses on two artworks from the National Gallery in London. The first is Venus and Mars by Sandro Botticelli, whose real name is in fact Alessandro Di Mariano Filippi. The work is of 1485 thereabouts. It's tempera and oil on poplar panel. First, the commission, function and purpose then. So possibly a piece of bedroom furniture, such as a headboard, bedhead, and possibly a Lettuccio, therefore, or it could be a spalliera painting, i.e. shoulder-height painting, set into the wainscoting of a room, possibly commissioned as an epithalamic offering to celebrate a wedding from the Vespucci family as the patrons. The subject, when he heard that Venus had been unfaithful to him, Vulcan, who was a rather ugly blacksmith, made a fine net of chains to catch her in the act in terms of this infidelity. The net was so delicate that the two beautiful gods did not know that they had been captured until it was too late. And this is, of course, Venus and Mars, god of war. Then Vulcan invited all the gods from Mount Olympus, the pantheon of gods, to come and laugh at the trapped lovers as a kind of form of ignominy or public humiliation. Venus and Mars possibly have a child as a result of this in the form of Cupid. Vulcan is also brother of Mars, incidentally having forged the armour too for the god of war. So symbolism and meaning, it is certainly an allegory of beauty and valour. The message overwhelmingly is that love conquers war, but it's about cuckoldry, and Vulcan, who forged the armour, has been cuckolded. The myrtle bush behind Venus, it was a traditional symbol of marriage and often associated with Venus anyway. The satyrs have got the little horned edges to their head, and these suggest the horn or the libido or lasciviousness with their priapic or phallic symbols. The wasps in the nest top right link to the family coat of arms or stemma. And this is the Vespucci family, which quite literally means little wasps. And also the sting relates to penetration. It's also a reminder the fact that love is painful, the sting of love. Some believe that her hair forms to create a V motif for Vespucci, and that there are several other hidden Vs in the painting, particularly in her dress. Another notion is that the setting in the background is of the sea and thus related to her birth, hence the conch seashell also, which is being used to blow into the ear of the slumbering Mars. And therefore, there's many links, of course, to the birth of Venus image, also by the same artist, same sort of date. Lance that cuts across is presumably a phallic symbol, but also could suggest the jousting that these sort of courtly pastime pursuits of this type of gentry. Astrological reference may be Mars and Venus as planets, and this could come from the theories of Ficino, the court philosopher. Charles Dempsey proposes a more sinister meaning in terms of the incubi who torment sleepers with sexual desire. Flora, then. The myrtle was considered a strong aphrodisiac, and Roman brides carried myrtle in their bridal bouquets. The plant on the bottom right has recently been identified as the Datura stramonium, or poor man's acid, which has hallucinogenic properties, gives the user an overwhelming urge to take their clothes off. Has Mars even been drugged by the narcotic plant? The models for the painting Giuliano di Piero de' Medici for the male, and a notorious beauty in Simonetta Vespucci for the female protagonist. Context, well, probably taken from an ancient sculpture, the sleeping Hermaphroditus. The Roman writer Lucian describes a painting in the past showing the marriage of Alexander the Great to Roxana, and this may have inspired the painting here in more contemporary times. In that picture, little cupids, as symbols of love, play with the warrior Alexander's armour, two lifting his spear and another creeping into his breastplate. So very similar, in fact, to the rather kind of ribald scene here. Botticelli has changed the Cupids, though, into satires, which might show his knowledge of a poem by the scholar and poet Angelo Poliziano, who was tutor to the Medici children. And Poliziano's poem, written at around the same time this painting was made, mentions little goat-footed satyrs, so that sort of makes sense. They were companions of a sleeping shepherd who inhabited a dreamlike place of love and pleasure, i.e. a kind of Arcadia or Golden Age. Now, moving to the second work, this is unlike the last, which is Florentine Quattrocento. We move to the Venetian Cinquecento, Bacchus and Ariadne by Titian, also another kind of cognomen, his real name Tiziano Vecellio, 1522, oil on canvas. Bit about the commission, function and purpose. The painting is one of a famous series by Bellini, Titian and the Ferrarese artist Dosso Dossi, commissioned for the Camerino d'Alabastro, so an alabaster room in the Ducal Palace, Ferrara, for Alfonso d'Este, who was Duke of Ferrara. The subject matter, scenes of hedonism, drinking, music making, therefore carousing and love making. And ultimately it represents perhaps therefore a commissatio. The sybaritic session in play really, which is somewhat corybantic, related to the court of the Ferraran court anyway, in terms of the Duke's slightly debauched behaviour, Titian also known to enjoy a bevy. Bacchus, Roman god of wine, first sets eyes on Ariadne, daughter of King Minos of Crete. Ariadne, of course, helped her lover Theseus slay the Minotaur in the labyrinth. This idea of leaving a trail of red thread to follow back the route that he took to try and get to this hybrid creature inside this labyrinth and slay it. She then slept on the island of Naxos alone, having wandered along the seashore, and of course she was therefore abandoned by Theseus. So this is the sort of fickle quality of love. She's now turned to another suitor potentially. The revelers' retinue play instruments, they sing in a chaotic ensemble or a bacchanal. The sources for this one follows closely the original Latin poems by Ovid and Catullus, taken from ostensibly Ovid's Metamorphoses and Ars Amortaria, the Art of Love, which is a set of three poems by Ovid, and it describes in there Bacchus leaping from the chariot, for example. It's also based on Philostratus, which gives us the two cheetahs, potentially, and Catullus, the description of the revellers. Now, with Catullus as youthful Bacchus wandering with the rout of satyrs and the Seleni, children of Nysa, looking for you, Ariadne, some waving Thyrisi, some tossing about the limbs of a mangled steer, some girding themselves with mangled serpents, others beating timbrels with raised hands or clashing with round brass cymbals. That's the original text. There is a suggestion here that Titian is working extremely hard in painting terms here to outdo contemporaries, rivals, for example, Raphael, referenced via the expulsion of Heliodorus from the temple for the key figure here of Bacchus. The beautiful pink cloak of Bacchus potentially is like a pair of wings, may link to Michelangelo's kind of contemporary creation of Adam motif. The whole composition really, which is rather frieze-like, is drawn perhaps from a Roman relief. Laocoon is featured as a kind of muscled, writhing figure, the Trojan priest, being strangled by snakes. This is a reference to the fact that the actual sculpture, which was Hellenistic, had been discovered in 1506 near Rome in a vineyard. Discobolus is referenced to, the discus thrower, of course, with the leaping pose or Myronic moment, is certainly the inspiration for the figure of Bacchus in this. Composition is divided diagonally. You have a calm top left, a kind of silence for the idea of the love at first sight moment, which is very much just the two of them, as it were, and then a wild right, almost a sense that he's left that behind. But you have a chiastic composition, and typically for Titian, order through chaos. sort of oxymoron, if you like, or paradox. The composition is ostensibly based on that chiastic arrangement in the Madonna of the House of Pesaro by Titian himself, High Renaissance altarpiece. In terms of materials, techniques, processes, only the finest quality pigments would do. Great deal of lapis lazuli for the blues, of course, but he also used them in their purest form, unmixed. Yet he added white to brighten them, to make them more iridescent. Some symbolism, meaning the urn, which is a kind of discarded amphora in the foreground left, bronze with yellow fabric. It bears the inscription, Titian made this, in Latin. So this is kind of as per a humanist script. It also doubles up as his signature, but it is an esoteric reference to his own extravagant lifestyle, a kind of discarded empty vessel from his cana, or partying, ways. We, of course, have the constellation of eight stars, the Corona Borealis. This is whereby the immortal, mortal rather, is granted immortality by Bacchus, of course, and he throws her wedding crown into the star, into the sky, and it creates the Corona Borealis, eight stars. So she's granted immortality. Otherwise, she would die, of course, unlike the god. The iris, columbine, and tender young vine shoots are more typical of late spring or early summer and have symbolism to do with love. The caper flower between the hooves of the frontal satyr as a symbol of love, but also the word is linked to the Italian capriolare, which means to leap in the air. The stigma points upwards, which is phallic or priapic, and above you have the lift. Now, a caper was prescribed at the time as a carminative for the excessive expulsion of gas, so you have this idea of a projection from below up. Now, the cheetahs are featured as opposed to leopards. This is probably, again, an esoteric reference because Alfonso had a menagerie which had cheetahs in it. So he changed them from the conquest of India by Bacchus with his chariot, which was drawn by leopards. The reference to Atlas is featured with a wine barrel on his shoulders being carried. There's also a King Charles Spaniel and a court pet. And furthermore, we have the figure of Silenus on the ass, which also the ass links to the arse pun with the wind and the carminative with the jet-propelled gas, but also this was the foster father of Bacchus, Silenus, who's drunk on his donkey in the background there.